More than once in my life, I've met a professing Christian who told me in one way or another that it isn't all that important to be involved in a local church. No, what mattered, they said, is that one reads the Bible, prayed, and tried to lead a good moral life and perhaps have a personal relationship with Christ. Going to church and being committed to a local church, that's not all that important. Faith is a personal matter anyway, they might say. I don't need other people telling me what to do or what to believe, and so on. I can read the Bible for myself and walk the walk by myself. Have you ever heard someone like that? Maybe you're that person. Maybe you've said things like that. But did you hear the Apostle Paul in those verses? Did you hear what he thinks about the church in that text? Would he agree with someone who doesn't think that the local church is important? No way. He would shake his head in dismay and say, "You just don't get it. You don't understand what the church is or very much about the Christian life." He, Paul, an apostle of Christ, would say that involvement in the local assembly of believers is an indispensable part of living the Christian life. In the verses just prior to our text, Paul explains to the church at Corinth that the Holy Spirit of God gives to each and every Christian a spiritual gift in the form of a special ability, special spirit-empowered ability. In verses 8 through 11, he gives a brief list of such gift abilities. It's not an exhaustive list because our text that I read gives additional examples. Now, the exact details don't matter right now. We'll come back to those on another occasion. But what matters is that each Christian is given a spiritual gift. And different Christians are given different spiritual gifts. And notice that Paul says in verse 7, that these manifestations of the Spirit are given, notice, for the common good. Do you see that? They're given. Why does God give these spiritual gifts? For the common good. That already tells us about the importance of the local church to every Christian. But in our text this morning, Paul goes on to fully explain our need for each other. Because God has distributed gifts in the church so that everyone has a gift, but no one has all the gifts. Christians are mutually dependent on one another. So let's dive into these verses of Scripture and see how Paul explains all this. Notice, first of all, in verses 14 through 19, that Paul tells us that the church needs you. The church needs you. Look at verse 14 again. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Notice how Paul draws an analogy. You read about it, right? You read along with me. Paul draws an analogy between the church and the human body. The body is one, he says, back in verse 12, but it has many members. That is, the body has many parts, right? Your body has a head with eyes, ears, a mouth. It has arms and legs, right? And so on. Now, in the following verses, The apostle has a little bit of fun. I hope you caught it. Paul has a little bit of fun here. He takes various parts of the body and he personifies them. He turns the individual parts of the body into people who are talking to each other. Did you catch that? He imagines that they're different people and they're talking amongst themselves. And the foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. And the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of the body. And Paul asked the question, are these body parts right to draw such conclusions? Of course not. Of course not. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? What a picture. I want you to think about what he's saying here. Colton, imagine this. Imagine this. Think about it. Imagine that all you are is a great big eye, right? That all the standing up here behind this pulpit is a great big brown eye, right? No ears, no nose, no arms, no legs, no torso, just a big old eye. You can see a lot, right? But you couldn't do very much else, right? Could you? You couldn't hear or speak or wave. Couldn't do any of that. Or imagine that you're just a big old ear. Think about a big old ear up here on top of the pulpit here. Big old giant ear. You could hear a pin drop a mile away, but you couldn't see it or tell anybody about it. Right? Or go pick it up. Here's the point. It takes many diverse parts with various functions to make up a fully healthy, functioning human body. Right? God designed it to be this way. And it's the same with the church. Look at verses 4 through 7. Go back to verses 4 through 7. This is before the text I read earlier. But look at what he says. Now, these are the varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom to get through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And so on, it goes on, right? Just as the human body needs all of its parts in order to function properly, so the church needs all its members in order to function properly. This means, beloved, that the church needs you. If you are a Christian, then you have been given a spiritual gift, whether you know it or not. You've been given a spiritual gift for the common good of some local church. And that church needs you just like a hand needs a foot. Right? Just like a head needs eyes. Like an eye needs an ear. The church cannot be everything that Christ has called it to be. It cannot do everything that Christ calls it to do without you. Without you and the service that you can provide with the spiritual gift or gifts that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you. So don't think that you're not needed. If somebody tells you you're not needed, they're lying. They're wrong. Don't think that you don't have a place, a role to play, a ministry to perform. Because you do. No matter how old or young you are. Secondly, Paul tells us in verses 10, 20 through 30 that you need the church. Despite that lone ranger mentality that I spoke of earlier, despite our drive for independence, the truth is that we all need each other to live the Christian life. And this is Paul's point in verses 20 through 30. I won't read every bit of it, but just look at verses 20 and 21 for a moment. 20 and 21. He says, "But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And he gives other examples. "The parts of the human body are parts of a larger whole," right? "No part by itself can function properly, can be what it's designed to be without all the other parts." Think about it. Chop off your hand, right? And what happens? The rest of your body could go on living, although crippled, but your hand dies, right? You cannot even properly call it a hand anymore. It's just a lump of flesh. This is why Paul goes back again to his very strange illustration involving personified body parts, right? The eye, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." What good are these parts individually without the other parts? You see? Even those parts which we often overlook, which we take for granted, which we don't think of as all that important. Even these, Paul says, have a necessary contribution to make to the whole. And notice how Paul concludes this illustration. Look at verse 24. The second half of verse 24. He says, "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, of course, Paul goes on to apply this to the church. This also describes the church. Notice verse 27. He says, now, after he talks about the human body, he says, "Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? You, the church, are the body of Christ." That's what you are. That's what we are. The local church, each and every local church that stands true to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, is a concrete manifestation of Christ in the world. That's what it is. And each and every Christian in the local church is part of the body of Christ. Each and every member. Just like your hand is part of your body, right? And each member of the body of Christ, each member of the church, has been appointed by God to serve some function in that church. Some were apostles, some prophets, some are teachers, some administrators, and so on. Then notice, Paul asks a series of questions. I've read it twice, right? All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers are they? And the answer to every single question is no, they're not. Some are given one gift, others are given other gifts. And the point is that since the body is one, it needs all the parts to be the body, to function properly as the body. You need the church. You need the church. But it's also true that the church needs you. Right? The church needs you. No Christian has everything that it takes within his own heart and mind and body to be what Christ would have him to be, or to do all that Christ would have him to do. Every Christian is called to follow Christ in discipleship. Every Christian is called to help spread the gospel to the four corners of the globe. Every Christian is called to pass on the faith to the next generation. But none of us, beloved, none of us can do these things alone. Take one example. Consider the Bible. This is a big book, isn't it? It's a big book. Written a long time ago in a very different historical context than what we live in. Parts of it, let's be honest, parts of this book are hard to understand. And so God gave a gift to the church in the form of teachers, right? God gave the church teachers who can do the hard work of study to help others understand it better. Doesn't mean you can't read it and study it for yourself. In fact, you have to. You need to. You should. But we need help with that, don't we? I do. Also considered what we studied recently in the book of Acts. For those who were here, you recall this. How there was this problem in which some of the poor widows in the church were being neglected in the distribution of the church's benevolence funds and therefore were going hungry. Some of the widows in the church were going hungry. And the apostles, who were called by Jesus to spend as much time as they could in prayer and preaching, they couldn't take care of this problem. Not on their own. They needed help. And so the deacon ministry was created to help the apostles do their work, to help the church be all it was meant to be. Just like the apostles needed the deacons, let me tell you, folks, I need you. I need you. I cannot do all the work that this church is called to do. I'm not supposed to. And neither are you by yourself. As Paul says in Ephesians, my job as pastor is to equip you for the work of the ministry. I'm to equip you for the work of the ministry. You need the church, and the church needs you. If you are a Christian, and if you are a member of this church, First Baptist Church of Ewing, then whether you know it or not, the Holy Spirit has gifted you for some ministry, some service in this church. And that leads me to the single point of application I'm going to make today. At the beginning of the service, Colton and Fiorella were good enough that gave you a piece of paper, right? Everybody got that? Under our new constitution, we don't have the old committee structure that we used to have and some churches use. But we need to be organized for ministry. We need to have some kind of structure. I've gotten some feedback from a few of you on this. I shared some of this with y'all on a business meeting a month or so ago. But I believe that we can do the work that we're called to do if we divide ourselves into these four ministry teams. See them on this handout, right? The education and outreach team, the hospitality team, a maintenance and security team, and a media and communications team. And you see under those blocks the various responsibilities and jobs that those teams will be called to do. There are other things that our church does and needs to do that aren't on this, that are not reflected on these four teams. We have a pianist who plays the piano for us, right? That's not on one of the teams. We have a church clerk who keeps our records. We have Betty over here who leads the music. Those aren't on the teams, but that's why I have this little block here says other functions. The application is this. Many of you are already doing things on this list. And if you are, I want you to just keep doing it. I want you to keep playing the piano, Janet. Where would we be without that, right? Praise God. So, that's okay. But whether you're already doing something or not, I want every person who is a member of this church, or if you're not a member, but you're somebody who attends regularly, I want you to put your name on this piece of paper, and I want you to circle that team that you either are or want to be a part of. And at the end of our service today, I'm going to ask you to turn that in and put it on the front pew before you leave this morning. And when I get those and collect those, you'll be getting a phone call or a text message or something. Okay? That's the plan. And if you're not under one of those teams, if you want to do something that's not under there, put it under that other function blank there. Here's something. Some of you may say, Pastor, I would love to participate in one of these teams, but I'm too old, or my body's wearing out. And maybe that's true. Some of you might say that and it not be true. But what if it is true? And what if you're just too sick? What if you can't get out much? That's fine. I understand that. One thing this church needs are prayer warriors. We need people who, if they can't do anything else, well, by the way, everybody's called to pray, right? Everybody should be a prayer. But if you can't do anything else, the very least you can be a prayer warrior and pray for this church, pray for the church members, pray for our country and the world and the spread of the gospel, right? So if that's all you can do, then write down on there, prayer warrior. I would love to see that. Even if you circle something else, put prayer warrior on there, right? And when we need prayers, we'll know who to call, right? If you have any questions about this, we'll talk more about it. You can ask me about it after church. But I'm going to ask you to do this, to volunteer, if you haven't already, for some ministry in our church so that we can do and be everything that Christ wants us to be. Let's pray.